This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, here we are after Easter, still trying to come to terms with the miracle that has met us in the risen Christ. When Jesus came forth from the tomb, everything changed for us. A whole new world has met us. Forgive us for all the ways we attempt to live in the same old world of sin and death. Beckon us to that transformed new life that we have yet to embrace in its fullness. O God, who leaped over the boundary between life and death, continue to leap over our boundaries. Continue to surprise us with where you will show up next. Continue to keep working on us. Help us to know that when you say, "I am making all things new," that includes us. Transform us so that we might be your faithful people, miraculously transformed by you. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Father Marty is not turning his back on Curcio, but I don't know where else to stand. See if you can complete this phrase. What the world needs now is...
Oh, sweet love.
Okay, end of sermon. That's really it. When you think about what is going on in the gospel today and what we're celebrating today with this Curcio weekend, it's all about love. You know, if we were to have our most precious person in front of us and knew that it was the last time we were going to hear them say something to us, we would be leaning on every single word. And here we are after the Last Supper. Jesus has just told them he's getting ready to leave. I will only be with you a little longer, and where I'm going, you cannot come. It's almost as if he's saying, now listen up, this is important. And he says it very simply. I give you a new commandment. Love each other. It's that simple. We can make it so complex sometimes about what this Christian walk is all about. And it starts right there, as my dear departed mother-in-law always said, love, 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 love everybody. That's all it's about. It's all that matters. Jesus didn't say, I give you a commandment, you believe this tenet of the creed, and you believe this, and you believe this. He didn't say that. You want to prioritize it? Love each other. When I hear that song, I always go back to that old Charlie Brown cartoon, and Charlie Brown's walking around and he's just skipping around singing, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And there's Lucy with this huge frown on her face as she usually has. And Charlie Brown stops and he says, Lucy, stop frowning. All the world needs now is love, sweet love. And Lucy responds in her typical fashion, loving the world, I got no problem with that. It's people I can't stand. And here is where the rubber meets the road for us. You know, Jesus says, the only test, if we are truly his disciple, his follower, is if we are loving each other. And that's hard. Because we know too well that relationships with people are messy. It's not so easy sometimes. I know I mess up all the time. You know that image we had last week of Jesus as the good shepherd and us as the sheep? I used to hate that image because I hate being considered a dumb sheep. Sheep are dumb. But, you know, I really do some dumb things. We all do. We say things we shouldn't say. We rattle something off the top of our heads that offends somebody because we didn't stop and think. We do some things. We forget to do some things. We do some dumb things. Call it dumb things, call it sin, call it whatever you want, but we do it. And the important thing for us is to be able to reconcile those things that we do and don't do, and those things that are done unto us and aren't done to us, with what Jesus has to say today. It's about loving each other. And there's a tremendous amount of forbearance in that statement. There's a tremendous amount of need for us to forgive and to be willing to be forgiven if we are truly going to be his disciples. You know, this passage in John is surrounded by people doing dumb things. Right before this passage, it began today with, after Judas had gone out. We know why Judas went out. In the passage right before this, Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And they're all saying, not I, Lord, not I. And Jesus says, the one who dips his finger into the dish with me is the one. Of course, it's Judas, and then Judas leaves. What a dumb thing Judas did. For a couple pieces of silver to give away the person that he had given his life to. And right after this passage, we have another dumb thing going on. It's Peter. And Jesus says, you know, before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny even knowing me three times. You are going to do something really dumb, Peter. And we know that's what happened. And we know that it continues on from there. He invites him to stay awake and pray. I'm going to be leaving you in a short time. This is our last chance to be together, so let's pray. What do? They all fall asleep. They come and they want to arrest Jesus. Peter, another dumb thing, takes his sword, whacks off the ear of the high priest's slave. Jesus has to put it back on. Peter, don't be so dumb. It's more than a physical kingdom here on earth. It goes on from there. They all get scared. What do? They all run away. Some dumb things. Puts it into perspective why Jesus says what he says. He knew they were going to do those things. But he knew they were going to have to get reconciled with each other and with him to move on. Because this Christian kingdom is not going to continue to grow unless we are able to do that. Look what happened in the reading in Acts today. Don't miss the incredible significance of that story. This is one I think we should be reading on Pentecost because it's the true, true, full manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming upon God's church. These Gentiles, think of the most despicable person that you can think of in your life, the people that you cannot stand, dare I use the word hate, and Jesus says to Peter, you are welcome in the kingdom just as they are. They looked upon the Gentiles as dirt, as horrible people, uncircumcised. Can you imagine how disgusting that is, they would say. And Peter comes to realize that they are just as welcome in the kingdom as he is. An incredible revelation. An incredible reconciliation that takes place. And the church started to grow by leap and bounds as a result. I'm sure some time ago you're familiar with the movie that came out that was called Out of Africa. It's based on a book by Dennison. And it doesn't come across well in the movie, but in the book there's a particular passage of a story that tells about this young tribesman who came to work as a servant for a few months with her. And this is what she writes in her book. It's an alarming experience to be in your person representing Christianity to the natives. There was a young Kikuyu tribesman by the name of Kitau who came in from the Kikuyu Reserve and started to work in service with me. He was a meditative boy, an observant, attentive servant, and I liked him well. After 3 months, he one day asked me to give him a letter of recommendation to my old friend, Sheikh Ali bin Salim, the Liwali of the coast at Mombasa. He was a Muslim. He had seen him in my house, and now he said he wished to go and work for him. I didn't want Katao to leave just when he had finally learned the routine of the house, and I said to him that if it meant anything, I'd raise his pay. No, he said, he's not leaving to get any higher pay. But he could not stay. He told me that he'd made up his mind that he would either become a Christian or a follower of Muhammad, only he did not yet know which. For this reason, he had come and worked for me since I was a Christian, and he stayed for 3 months in my house to see the ways and habits of the Christians. From me, he would go for 3 months to Sheikh Ali in Mombasa and study the ways and habits of the Mohammedans. Then he would decide. I believe that even an archbishop, she writes, when he had had these facts laid before him, would have said, or at least would have thought, good God, Katao, I wish you'd have told me that when you came here. I think we'd say the same thing. Well, the point is, every single day, this story takes place in our lives. We're either loving each other, reconciling one with another, or we're not. Jesus uses the word today, glorify. One of the roots of that word, in its original connotation, means reputation. I really like looking at that word in that way. We are either helping to glorify God's reputation, to increase God's reputation, or we are ruining God's reputation. When I look at it that way, it makes it a lot easier for me to want to love every single person, because I do not want to harm God's incredible reputation one bit. You look at that book of Revelation today, just as important. It's the last from the last two chapters of the entire Bible. John's finishing up his visionary statements. It's almost like his last will and testament, something that says, pay attention, this is important. And what does he say? Behold, I'm doing something new. I want to transform even you. He talks about heaven as a city. Think of that. Why would he talk about it as a city? Because a city is a bunch of people dependent on each other. And if it's a perfect heavenly city, they are living in perfect harmony. Now think of that. Think of that. Driving down I-95 and nobody's going to cut you off. You're going to go to the boys and not one shopping cart's going to rear end you as you're walking through the aisles. You're not going to do something bad on the road and get the middle finger salute from anyone. It's living in perfect harmony. And the point is, this is the way it's going to be in heaven. Why not start living that way now? And a bit of this heaven can come to our earth. He uses this incredible symbol of a river that brings springs of life. If you could turn the sanctuary lights off in the back there, please, Paul. I ran across this incredible example. This particular example of this city is in South America, south of Bogota, Colombia. Because there's been a lot of guerrilla warfare in the area has not become very well known until now, but it's going to become, I think, a major tourist attraction. It is a river that is called the Caña Cristales. And there is moss that grows in that river, but only at one time a year does it get the proper amount of water for the colors to be able to come through. And the myriad of colors that emerges, these are not touched up photographs. These are actual photographs of this river. at the peak, when the water is just at the right level to create the myriad of colors that are there. Amazing, isn't it? All the colors, we're going to sing a little later in this service today. All the colors in this congregation, all the colors in Christianity, all the gifts, all the varying personalities that God has given to us. If only we can let those waters of life, of baptism, the waters of our faith be the guiding force so that we can listen to Jesus' final words to us today. I give you a new commandment. Love each other. Let's do it.